morning. God bless you all. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share with us before we start? Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just ask your wisdom, Father. Help us, Lord, as we open your word, Father. Guide us into what you would have us say this morning, Lord. Have us learn that we might draw near to your kingdom, Father. Lord, we just want to thank you again for your goodness and mercy to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Again, want to extend greetings to you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just want to praise him this morning for his grace that he saw fit to intervene in this lost world, that you and I could be awakened out of darkness, the darkness that's in this world, and he would shed his light in it, that we might be drawn to his kingdom. May we be faithful and enduring, loyal to him. This morning I want to appreciate the thought that was given on prayer this morning that Brother Joe shared, that our prayers, the focus of our prayer should be, thy will be done. You know, God will give people what they ask for. And our focus, the focus of our prayer should be, thy will be done, instead of mine. I just appreciated that being emphasized this morning. So many times in the scriptures we find people that ask for things, but they don't ask for God's will, and how many times God gives it to them, but it's to their own detriment, and it comes about to become a curse to them in many things. But God lets them have it, and our prayer should be, thy will be done. I've thought recently of how many people I've talked to that they see what the Lord wants, and then they say, well, I'll pray about it. And how often that they turn from what the Lord wants. And we look in scriptures. We find that prayer is where we do battle. And it is contrary to what we're taught, probably one of the most dangerous places There he is. I'm going to say there's probably more people that are deceived in prayer than there is anything in this world. You say, why? How in the world can that be? Everybody says we ought to pray. I just want to give you a little something to think about. Jesus prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. He fasted. And I just want to ask you, who appeared to him at the end of that 40 days of fasting? Who was it? It was Satan that appeared to him. And he began tempting. And he tempted him with everything that he had. And Jesus had to overcome those temptations. And in this generation, in this world where the slightest little miracle turns us aside, or the slightest warm feeling, or the slightest experience that we have when we pray sometimes, if the devil appeared to Jesus when he prayed, how much more do you think he's going to use that when we pray? When you pray, pray as the Lord said, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're so prone to be deceived and to be led astray. And Satan is a master at using things that are meant for our help to twist them around to our own destruction. And he's fully capable of doing it. Seek the Lord's will. Forgive when you pray. Pray with mercy. Pray with a desire to fulfill the Lord's will, and to allow his will to be done in our life. That wasn't the message this morning, but it's just a little bit of guidance. There's so many people that are just turned aside in prayer because they have some mountaintop experience and they think it's from God. Instead of wading past that, they stop there, or they get carried away in that experience. And instead of pressing on through it to the place where you surrender your will, they get turned aside. This morning I want to open our Bibles to Matthew. We'll just start here in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I want to basically talk about being worthy this morning. Being worthy. And we'll touch across some things that, Lord willing. But I want to just bring this out, this point out about being worthy. And one thing I do want to try to bring out this morning, just to try to get my thoughts in order as we go through this. This is not about keeping a law. Being a Christian is not just keeping laws. Nor is it just going around being a brotherhood. Nor is it just going around saying, ha ha, being a bunch of policemen, watching everyone and seeing, hey, you're breaking that law. We're not called to be policemen. And when Jesus came teaching, a lot of times we associate what he's doing with laws. It's not that they are not established things that will happen, but whenever he teaches things, he's trying to teach us about kingdoms. And his warnings to us are so that we can overcome this kingdom and be accounted worthy of his kingdom. It's not just about keeping laws. The things that he teaches us, and his book is given to us to guide us through this dark world so that we can safely enter into his kingdom. He teaches us things to avoid. He teaches us things to stay away from. Not because if we break them, we're going to get busted upside the head. But he teaches us those things to keep us from being entangled in this world. He's teaching us these things so that we can apply them to our lives, that we can forsake this world and its lust and the evil that's in it, that we can become overcomers of this world. We're so conditioned that whenever someone teaches us something or someone tries to share with us, many times it appears as a law, another law that we have to keep. And many times it's presented as a law that we have to keep. And it's expected that way. But that's not what it's about. It's about our good and how God sees what is evil. Whenever he says not to love the world, that's not a law that we're just going to have to keep. So we've got to separate ourselves and go hide out somewhere. When he says love not the world, he's saying don't love this world, because it'll snare you and turn you away from me. This world is my enemy. And if you allow this world to bat its eyes at you, or if you allow the glimmer or the glitter or something that this world offers you to draw you away and entice you, it will. It's full of lust, and it knows what's in you, and it's geared to satisfy you and the lusts that are in you. And Jesus has given us warnings. Don't let that lust get a hold of you. Don't let that lust that this world offers get a hold of you and begin to turn your soul aside from that which is important. The Spirit of God's kingdom and the spirit of this world are two different things. And we need to learn to recognize them. And we need to exercise ourselves to turn away from the lustful things that this world offers. We need to begin to train ourselves and continue to train ourselves to watch for things that are the lust of this world, are the lust of the flesh, and are of the pride of life. Like 1 John teaches. That is what this world is all about. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John 2:17. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The lust of the world passes away, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth, the will of God abideth forever. Is that just a rule? Is that just a law we've got to live by? Is that just a restriction God's trying to put on us? No. He's trying to tell us that this world is your enemy. He's trying to tell us that this world and everything that it offers you is going to pass away. It's going to be gone. And only by doing the will of the Father will you be able to overcome this world. Don't be ensnared. James chapter 1. My brethren, verse 2, start in 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. There's an opportunity to exercise yourself, to make yourself stronger. You know, I've watched people and I've watched myself. The more that we try to satisfy this flesh, the more it wants. The more it wants. People sleep. Hours a day sometimes. And they wake up tired. There's no exercise there. And the more relaxed the body becomes, the flesh becomes to doing nothing, the less it wants to do. People get sick, and sometimes it's hard for them to recover their strength because their body feels so weak and it just doesn't want to do anything. And so they just sit in a chair. I've watched old people just sit in a chair and just give up, because they've lost their will to overcome the weakness that they feel in their bodies just to keep themselves a little bit active. Because it gets harder and harder and harder because the flesh gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And it does nothing but keep you weak. So count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it as an opportunity to stand up against your own flesh. And fight it. Fight it. Fight it. It's your enemy. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It shall be given him. Prayer. Here's one thing you can ask for and not have to worry when you ask God for wisdom about whether you're getting the right thing. Why? Right here it says, let him ask of God, and God will give it to you liberally. Prayer list. Give me wisdom, Lord. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Be determined in your direction. Be of one mind. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof faileth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Be concerned about these things. See what it is that's going to cause you to exalt yourself and flee from it. Don't look at it as a law. Look at it as something dangerous to avoid. Something to turn from. Something to flee from. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Keep your eyes on those things. set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. This earth will pass away, and the affection of the things of this earth will draw yourself away from the kingdom of God to the point where you can't even see it anymore. You can keep laws. You can keep rules and still appear alive. You can look like a Christian. And be dead. You know, some of the brethren that I've worked with and lived with, and I've watched them slowly turn aside, they're still walking today. Some of them are still acting religious. But there came a time when I just wanted to walk up to them and look them in the eye and say, goodbye. Goodbye. Although you're still living, I'll never see you again, because you've allowed your soul to be turned aside from the kingdom of God. I can see your body. I can talk to you. You can still come to church. But you're dying. You're dying. And I just want to say goodbye. Because you're not alive anymore. You're not alive to God anymore. You're dead. And that's just as real as someone falling over dead with a heart attack. Or dying with cancer. Only they're dead in the real, not in this flesh. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. It's not going to jump out and get you the first time you yield to lust. No, it's much more subtle than that. It's much more dangerous than that. If lust was a big grizzly bear, we'd all run away from it. We'd all be scared of it. If it came at us like a grizzly bear. And And as soon as we got close to it, it just ate one of us. Be a gruesome sight, wouldn't it? We'd all be scared of a grizzly bear. Doesn't happen that way. It happens as a little piece of pie. Then a little more. Then a little more. And then a little more. Oh, it's good. It's good. Tastes good. Pretty soon, we got to have a piece of pie at every meal. Then we need two pieces at every meal. Starts out as a little bit of ease and comfort. We just want to make it a little more comfortable for ourselves. So we just kind of slouch down and get comfortable. Next thing we know, we're getting pretty drowsy. Then we're off to sleep. Starts out with just looking at something that we shouldn't be looking at. Boy, it's so nice to look at. To our flesh. Nice to think about to our flesh. The world calls it eye candy. That's an apt description. Eye candy. Boy, it just looks nice to the eye, doesn't it? It's not some old bloody grizzly bear going to eat us. It's something that looks really nice. Boy, there's just something in there that just draws us to it. It just draws us to the world. That's not of God. God doesn't draw us to the world. That's what it's saying here. When He allows us to be tempted. But that drawing that's in us is not from God. That desire just to go ahead and satisfy the flesh. Draws us away. It draws us away. guard yourself. Learn to choose a little more simple path. That mean, oh, don't ever eat a sweet? No, it doesn't. But guard yourself. The more we do, the more we pursue those things, the more of it we want. Pursue the simple. We've got to eat. We've got to sleep. There's needs that we have. Do all things with temperance. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Sometimes we're in places where there's plenty to eat. It's all right. Sometimes we're in places where there isn't hardly anything to eat. If we've learned to be temperate whenever there was plenty, we'll just go right on through where there isn't hardly anything. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. What is it that draws us away? What is it? You know, sometimes we look around at people and we see maybe they can do something. And so we start in and try to do it and we wind up falling flat on our face. Remember having a track one time. The title was something like, You May, But I May Not. There's things that your brothers can do that you might not be able to get near. Just because they can do them, you've got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If it's a snare to you, you avoid it, no matter who else might be able to do it. You say, well, that ain't fair. This world ain't fair. nothing in it is. If it's a stumbling block to you, get rid of it. Some people can eat some things and it don't bother them a bit. But it might you. It might you. Avoid it. Learn to stand on your own. Learn to stand on your own. And give plenty of grace and mercy to those who haven't attained to where you're at. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Guard yourself. The pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. What is it that you're allowing to be conceived in your life? What is it that's just ready to bring forth sin? It's probably something you're saying, it ain't that big a deal. I can handle it. Probably something you're saying in your mind that, well, they've got a problem with it, but I don't. It's much more subtle than that. Sin and lust are deceitful. And they blind your mind. Luke chapter 20. I just want to read part of this verse, verse 35. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead. These are Jesus' own words. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead. Counted worthy. counted worthy. Don't worry about your neighbor. Will you be accounted worthy? That word worthy means suitable. Are you going to be suitable for the kingdom of God? If you're full of the lust of this world and satisfying the flesh, satisfying your eyes, satisfying the pride of life, you're not suitable for the kingdom of God. Chapter 21, verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and stand before the Son of Man. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted suitable to escape these things. We're being tested and tempted here in this world to see if we're going to be accounted suitable for the kingdom of heaven. All these things that entice us, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, are trying to entice us so that we won't be suitable for the kingdom of God when the Lord returns. Got 20 verses here that I looked up this morning that talk about being worthy of the kingdom of God. Don't be overtaken the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. First time, it's not going to appear as something that's going to hurt you. It's going to appear as something that's nice for you. This world is enticing. The things that are in it appear beautiful to the eyes. Something to be desired. Something that smells good, looks good, tastes good, feels good. We're all susceptible to it. And the first time you yield, you're not going to feel like there's an alligator chasing you. But there is. You just don't know it yet. The first time you yield, you're just kind of playing with the lock on the door that's keeping that thing behind the cages. You just keep piddling with that lock. You'll have it off pretty soon. It's a danger. Guard yourselves from it. It ain't going to hurt to live a little simpler, a little purer, a little cleaner. And it's battles we're going to battle till we die. Exercise and be stronger and stronger and stronger against them instead of being weaker and weaker and weaker to them. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. When this world passes away and all of those beautiful things, those wonderful things are taken away from us, those things that made us feel comfortable here, those made us feel good here, when they're all gone, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. It's all that's going to be left. Pray that we'll be counted worthy to escape all the things that are coming upon this world. Jesus pleads with us. Father, help us, Lord, to guard ourselves from these things, Lord. We might live unto Thee. Help us see clearly, help us exercise ourselves and have the strength to overcome, Father. Give us courage and wisdom, for Thine is power and glory forever. Have anything they'd like to share, add? those who have the confidence that they're on their way are not concerned about being worthy. Those who live fearful that they're not worthy is what it takes. John the Baptist said he was unworthy to untie his shoes. He didn't have this false confidence that he was just on his way to heaven. It's the last thing that was entering his mind. He saw how unworthy he was and hoped and worked to be worthy. Matthew chapter 10. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to go through a few of these. I therefore, verse 1, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Colossians 1, verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 12. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. There's all kinds of verses. Walk worthy. God bless you.